You're listening to The Mark White Show.
That's a good how do you do.
Sometimes life brings you a moment you always will remember. Some of nature's most beautiful creations framed by places we know and cherish. And aren't we in luck that some of life's most memorable scenes are right here at home, all together at Alabama the Beautiful, the group on Facebook where the eye captures the moment. And it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
With six convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their six convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes. North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org. Now, with tomatoes and other fresh produce, J. Calvert Farms in Coleman, Alabama is ready to serve you. Located at 30 County Road 260, Coleman, Alabama, you can go to their website at jcalvertfarms.com and follow them on Facebook and Instagram at jcalvertfarms. Give them a call at 256-636-2752. That's J. Calvert Farms in Coleman, Alabama.
Hey, everybody, this is Daryl Worley, and you're listening to The Mark White Show. Hey, step up and make a difference like he does.
This is Nico Johnson from Andalusia, Alabama. Assistant football coach at University of Texas. Be where your feet are. You listen to The Mark White Show.
Hey, y'all, this is Jeff Foxworthy, and you, yeah, you can make a huge difference in somebody's life. You just may not have figured out how yet, and that's why you're listening to The Mark White Show.
Hi, I'm Crystal Gale, and you're listening to The Mark White Show, and one smile can make a difference.
Hello, I'm Gene Stallings, and this is the Mark White Show. Get off the sideline and get involved and make a difference in your community.
You are listening to the Mark White Show. My daddy is your host, Mark White. Do something good today.
Welcome to another special edition of The Mark White Show. I am glad that you can be with us. You have heard cast members from The Waltons and Little House on the Prairie, and I am so pleased to welcome Leslie Winston, who played Cindy Walton, the wife of Ben Walton on The Waltons. Welcome to The Mark White Show, Leslie Winston.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. Thrilled that you wanted to have me.
So glad to have you, and I'm just as excited by the fact that I hit the record button just now. This is great. Isn't that wonderful when you hit the record button and you know that you're actually getting a show? That's great.
Yes, it is.
I was so distracted by our wonderful conversation to get started that I didn't even think about there's a record button, and this is part of your job is to hit that button. Mark, you have one job, and you need to finish. I had one job.
I know.
Leslie, what an interesting career you've had, and to have the opportunity to come in late, if you will, on the Waltons, this family who had formed this strong bond over these seasons, and here comes Cindy Walton to marry Ben and becomes part of that family. How quickly did you adjust?
Well, you know, that's just a great question. You know, it was just one of those wonderful things. You know, definitely there's the vibe of they've all been working together for 7 years before I started on the show. And, you know, I was a little nervous about that, but we were all very, very close in age, you know. You know, I grew up in Iowa, and I was so thrilled to join the show. It was a thrill for my family that this was the show that I got on. you know, the, our favorite show when I was back in Iowa, because it started in 72 when I was still in high school, you know. So I just had a great feeling about it, and we just kind of fell in together really fast. We became fast friends. My husband, you know, and I became friends with Eric and his wife at the time, and Mary, and we were doing social things together, and, you know, we were in each other's weddings, and it just became very tight, very fast. And for me, you know, people, you know, often ask me about the show and what it was like. It was a marvelous experience as an actress. But the best thing about the show is all these years later, we're still best friends.
Yes.
And that is just, they are all so near and dear to my heart. And I know I am to them, too. So it's quite a gift in my life.
As you know, Leslie, when things happen in our life, we're either really happy about it, we're not really happy about it, or we're kind of in between. And I'm going to say that we probably aren't having a conversation if you really didn't enjoy your experience on the Waltons, because you're going to say, you know, I really don't want to talk about it if it didn't work out for you, because that's the way I would be about certain things in my life over the past years. If something had not worked out quite right, I'd say, you know, I really don't want to talk about that. Let's go to a different subject. But for you, right. I'm glad you had this experience and these many years later can talk about the friendships, talk about the connections, talk about enjoying being part of this amazing piece of Americana. Because when you think about what the Waltons, Little House on the Prairie, Andy Griffith Show, these types of programs have been unstoppable when it comes to TV, the TV world, and shows come in and shows come out. And while they do, and you think about all the different shows in your life that you've known about, Leslie, and you think about they've come in, they've come out, they've been forgotten about, some will be remembered vaguely. You might remember a show about a particular subject, but an entire series, season after season after season, that people love to embellish about into what's the word I'm looking for, to relish in the content in the way that they do, because it becomes this big following that has amassed because of whatever magic there was in the Waltons. You were able to be part of that, and you sense it now, you know it now, because of what you've seen people do, the reaction that they have to the show.
Well, I think you put it very well. I really like that phrase, that people relish the content. The writing was wonderful on the show, and the themes of love and family and loyalty and right and wrong, I think they're very, very clear and really touch people of all ages, young and old. You know, it spilled over into our private lives. We loved each other and were there for each other through big events in our lives, marriages, and, you know, there's sadly a few deaths and, you know, bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs and baptisms and all kinds of stuff. It's been a great journey, of love and friendship.
And I can see exactly why your family was excited. You came from America's heartland in Iowa.
Exactly.
I mean, how much more America can you get? Hand me one of those corns on a stick and yeah, and call me country.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, that my parents were completely supportive of my acting career, and I had pursued this all through school. So this wasn't a shocker when I told them I was going to move to Los Angeles. But still, it was, you know, wow, Los Angeles. <It's>
yeah.
A lot different from Mason City, Iowa.
Right.
So, you know, they were nervous for me, as any parent would be, and that this would be the big show that I would land. Oh, they were just so thrilled. I actually still, I keep wonderful cards and letters from people. You know, and I have them in little places all over my home just for their energy. And I have a beautiful letter. My younger sister is almost 6 years younger than I am. So she was still in school during the years that I was on, you know, high school, the years that I was on the show. And she wrote me a beautiful letter telling me about how proud of me she was when she'd sit, you know, every Thursday night to watch the show with mom and dad. And, you know, she just wanted me to know that she couldn't be prouder of me. And it was just like, every time I'd be, I was about to start to cry now. It's just so meaningful, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
Now,
so, yeah, they were very excited.
I'm going to say this, Leslie, and I'm not trying to be inappropriate at all, but you, a gorgeous character in this show. I mean, you, incredibly beautiful, come into this program, and I'm thinking there are certain areas of the show where I'm like, they are banking on her good looks here at this point.
No, I was kind of a racy gal, driving that red convertible and
made for Ben and his wildness, because, you know, if you were watching, and I don't know, were you watching the series prior to being on the show?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean it. We watched it as a family every Thursday night.
Okay.
Big deal.
So you knew how rebellious they had built the Ben character, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Absolutely. And his temper and...
Oh, yeah. Boy. Yeah, because I would sit there with Cora and I'm like, wait a minute, should I let Cora hear Ben fuss at his dad like this? Or
right.
Or do we sit back and relax and just say, hey, honey, just enjoy this, but don't talk to me that way. Don't you do it.
Not for you. Okay, on the show.
That's just Ben. He's acting.
Right.
He's just acting. We don't do that in real life, do we?
Exactly. I know. There was some tension there, especially with Daddy, you know, and how they ran the sawmill and all that.
Absolutely. Yeah. A near divorce. I mean, that's pretty serious business.
Fastidious wife. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Thank God for grandma and the broom.
Exactly. You know, and that is the lesson within what is just a traumatic event. Because if somebody in real life is at the brink of separation with their partner and divorce is being brought up, and you've got, let's say you have children and this is real life stuff, what is going to stop that avalanche that is now rolling, but a grandmother with a broom to help intercede this relationship and to be able to keep it going? Because otherwise, if you don't have anybody to interject and say, okay, slow down, young people, this is a real part of life and this is a real part of getting past your differences, and you need to think about this before you make this major life-changing decision. And so that is a lesson within a very traumatic event that happens through people's lives very often, sadly.
Yes.
But without grandma and her broom, they don't have it. They don't have grandma and her broom, you know?
That's exactly right.
Sounds like a t-shirt. Exactly. You need to have Ellen on a t-shirt holding a broom and say, you need a broom?
You need a grandma with a broom.
That's right. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's what I mean. The writing was awesome. Well, Earl Hamner, who, you know, wrote Spencer's Mountain, that the show is based on, that was with Henry Fonda and Maureen O'Hara. I think that was in the early 60s. I think that's when that movie came out. Big hit. And then, of course, in 1972, he, you know, did the TV movie The Homecoming. And that was, they thought that was a one and done, you know, a TV movie. They were huge back then. But it was such an incredible hit that that's when they decided to expand it into a series. It wasn't going to be a series originally. Yeah, and so it's all Earl. I mean, Earl was a hands-on writer, producer, extraordinaire, and he had Rod and Claire Peterson, who were, you know, executive producers right under him, who also wrote majority of the scripts on the show. And there were other writers, of course. Nobody can write them all, but they wrote a ton. And that you know, and then there's other producers, but really those three, Earl, number one, and then Rod and Claire Peterson, those three, they really ran the ship, and they did the writing and they called the shots. I mean, when I auditioned, that's who I saw. I, you know, auditioned for Earl and Rod and Claire. And it was a wonderful experience, you know. My middle name is Jane, and Earl's wife's name is Jane, and his wife came from Iowa as well.
Oh,
so
how about
it was
that?
Kind of a lot of fun little things, you know, that kind of lined up to make this happen.
You know, if I had a chance, Leslie, to talk to both Michael Landon and talk to Earl, the interesting question for me would be, because CBS and NBC were in tough competition for the minds, the time of listeners and viewers as they produced their programs. And to think, okay, was Earl paying attention to Little House? Was Michael paying attention to the Waltons? Because they did end up crossing each other in time, because the Waltons had started prior to Little House on the Prairie. And then, or was it, wait a minute, was it the other way around? No? 1974?
I'm actually not sure. Let me tell you.
Yeah, because one of them crossed each other. So I'm just going to say this. So they crossed each other. And I think about the fact that there are some similarities between the two shows. And you might want to watch one episode and say, well, that kind of seems like what happened on Little House one time. Or that kind of seems like what happened on the Waltons
see,
one time.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. You know, that I don't know.
That's very interesting to me to think about their, if they were watching each other and saying, hey, that worked really good. I need to add that in there.
Right, a little feeling back and forth. Yeah.
Yes.
I do not know.
You know, competition only breeds competition, right?
Yeah, only those who are not with us anymore can answer that.
Exactly.
That's an
experience, though, to think about these two programs just head-to-head. And great programming, by the way, through CBS and NBC during that time to have these types of shows that were highly successful and an incredible time for television, because I was born in 79. And so I picked up reruns by the time I'm old enough to even know what's happening. I'm watching reruns of Little House and the Waltons as a kid in the 80s. So that's where I came into the picture, was that it was already, everything had already been said and done pretty much. I was 2 years old, 1981. And so I had to catch up about 6, 7, 8 years old. I'm catching up on old shows by the time Mark White's in the picture.
Right. Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. That's so amazing, is that people are picking up on it
yes.
and loving it and keeping it on the air. I don't think the show has ever been off the air since it started. It's been on some cable station somewhere since 1970, you know, first network TV,
sure.
of course, and
yes.
all that,
mm-hmm.
And all those years. But you can find it somewhere all the time. I have a really close girlfriend who doesn't live here in LA anymore, and she watches the Waltons every afternoon and sends me screenshots of myself and says things like, I miss you. You know, I mean, so that's what I mean. It's out there somewhere always. I do not think we've ever had a gap where it hasn't been on, which is so, you know, touching for all of us cast members that it's still meaningful to people. I mean, that's a thrill.
That's wonderful. Folks, right now we're talking to Leslie Winston. She played Cindy Walton, Ben Walton's wife, on The Waltons. And we are getting ready for the Northeast Missouri Fall Pickers Market, October 1st and 2nd in Macon, Missouri. Cora and I and April, we're looking forward to traveling to Macon, Missouri to be a part of this event on Saturday and Sunday. And part of it includes the picking side of things, antiques, vintage, architectural salvage, fall decor, jewelry and clothing, repurposed finds, original art, as well as handmade crafts, food, and some good old junk. And right now I have on the line with me, as I mentioned, Leslie Winston, thanks to Jack Bishop. He has organized this, and he has helped the Mark White Show get some amazing guests on the show thanks to these markets. And I appreciate that, and I appreciate the fact that he has brought these reunions together, the Little House reunion on October 8th and 9th, and the Waltons reunion October 1st and 2nd. And Leslie, if you'll stick with me, we'll continue this conversation on the other side, and we'll talk a little bit about looking forward to this event on October 1st and 2nd, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, folks, I hope you'll stick with us too. You are listening to The Mark White Show, and I'm your host, Mark White.
We can make a difference. All we have to do is try. Yeah, every day's a chance to change somebody else's life. Let's all do something good today.
North Alabama is full of adventure. If you love food, we've got it. If you love festivals, we've got them. If you love the outdoors, we've got plenty of places to explore. Whatever you love, we're sure to have something for you. For all things North Alabama, check out northalabama.org.
Athens Bible School is accredited by Advance Ed, a member of the National Alliance of Concurrent Enrollment Partnerships, and is a satellite campus of Calhoun Community College. For more information, call 256-232-3525. Or visit our website at athensbibleschool.org.
With 6 convenient locations to serve you, Bankston Motorhomes is your local RV dealer. They have some of the top brand name RVs for sale at incredible prices. Whether you are looking for an awesome RV for a long-term road trip or a smaller or more lightweight RV for the occasional weekend getaway, Bankston Motorhomes is here to provide you with some outstanding options and deals that you just won't find anywhere else. For more information, go to BankstonMotorhomes.com or visit one of their 6 convenient locations in Huntsville, Florence, Warrior, Albertville, and Ardmore in Nashville, Tennessee. That's Bankston Motorhomes.
For those of us who are directly responsible for the care of loved ones, we want to do the very best we can to take care of them. This is where estate planning is so important. With estate planning, you can still take care of your loved ones even when you're gone. I encourage you to make a plan by going to BamaEstatePlanning.com. Harlan Mitchell has all the tools you need to make a solid plan for your family, just like I did. That's BamaEstatePlanning.com. Make a plan and do it today.
No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the legal services performed by other lawyers.
This is Jacob Johnson from Marble City Pharmacy, and we've got exciting news. An all-new Marble City Pharmacy and Gift Shop is coming soon. That's right, we're getting bigger and better. We will have more space and be adding a drive-thru, and we'll still be in the same great location we are today. While the construction is happening, we'll be moving a few doors down in the same shopping center, Ogletree Plaza. But don't worry, all of our fantastic services will still be available, including in-store pickup, curbside service, and free home delivery. We can't wait for you to see our new pharmacy and gift shop. Thank you for making Marble City Pharmacy Coosa Valley's best.
This is Cora White inviting you to tune in every Saturday to Cora's Corner on The Mark White Show.
Welcome back to The Mark White Show. I'm glad that you can be with us today as I have special guest Leslie Winston. Leslie played Cindy Walton on The Waltons. She was the wife of Ben Walton, if you recall. And I know that we have a lot of people in The Mark White Show audience who love The Waltons, who love Little House on the Prairie. And Jack Bishop has worked very hard to bring both to the table, literally to the table. And in Elizabeth's case, the ice cream table. And Cora is going to be able to enjoy some ice cream with Cammy and Rachel from the Waltons. We're excited about that. We're talking about the Northeast Missouri Fall Pickers Market, October 1st and 2nd in Macon, Missouri. And then over in Logan County, they have the Fall Pickers Market that's taking place in Lincoln, Illinois, October 8th and 9th. So we're excited about both of these events. And right now, as I said, we have Leslie Winston, who played Cindy Walton. Welcome back to The Mark White Show, Leslie.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
I am so glad that you've joined me today. And if we think about the first segment and you talked about being at each other's weddings, you've gone to be in different family participation events, family events, all these different things, and this closeness that has been created through the Waltons cast, it must be really exciting for you to look forward to October 1st and 2nd as you get to be with some of your family members.
You're absolutely right. I'm super jazzed to be spending some time with them. And, you know, it's a great opportunity, you know, to come and meet the fans, but a great opportunity for us to, you know, hang together. Everybody's got busy lives, and we all do. Everybody does. And so, you know, a chance, a golden opportunity like this to spend quality time, and a lot of it, is a real joy, real exciting.
Leslie, when fans interact with you, it's going to be different because there's different time periods in the Waltons when someone was in the show, someone was not in the show, and you have different people who watch during different time periods. So the people who catch up to the later episodes of the Waltons and they see you, what is the interaction? What do you get from people when they talk about your character and how it impacted them in particular?
Well, I think they really enjoyed that Cindy was, you know, one of the scripts was called The Outsider. You know, that she came in and she's pretty feisty and she didn't let anybody barrier, either Ben or any of the other family members. She really stood up for herself. And I think that I think people really like that. She was a real, you know, as all the Waltons were, family was everything. So the show's about her children and Ben going off to war and, you know, being, you know, waiting as the women did. You know, I think they've very touched people a lot. There was a show about where I found out I was adopted. I think that touched a lot of people as well because a lot of people are adopted. My own mom was adopted. You know, these kinds of things, they're very human and of the human experience. And I think that's what they respond to. They loved it when I gave it to Ben in The Fastidious Wife with the broom and all of that, not letting him get away with stuff. That's what I mean, that kind of thing. I think that's what they really liked. And I think they liked Ben and I as a couple, actually.
I think so, too. And you mentioned adoption. My grandparents who raised me, they adopted their first three children, which included my birth mother. And then they took me and raised me, and all but the last name, I was adopted by them. And that was my life, was living with my grandparents. And I thought about, too, the fact that 1971 was when The Homecoming came out. And if you look at 1971 and just go back some decades, it's not too far removed from World War II. And so you have people who were on the show who lived the 40s, who lived World War II and even World War I for that matter. And you have people who are watching, like your parents, who would have definitely been part of that time period. And so they have a great appreciation for a young man who goes off to war and a wife who's left behind and all these different things, these elements that played into what America was facing during that time. And you all are having an opportunity not far removed from that period to recreate that and hoping that it's relatable.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. We were not back when we did that. We were not that far removed from World War II. And certainly, as you said, my parents, you know, it was like watching their lives. Everything they went through and what the family went through and the waiting and the gardening and the victory gardens.
Yes.
And, you know, the, you know, the collecting the scrap metal, things like that. All of that was very familiar and, very moving, very big, you know, That was, I can't imagine going through that in our lifetime.
My granddad was 13 years old when World War II started, and he raised me. I mean, I was born in 79, and here my granddad raised me, somebody who was 13 years old at the beginning of World War II, and watched his brother go off to the Navy, ship off his oldest brother to head there, and that's not even talking about the Korean War, his next brother that was sent to Korea. Even closer to that war was Korea to the Waltons. Vietnam, for sure.
Well, and as a matter of fact, my own dad, he was in law school at University of Iowa, and he's a farm boy. That's the other thing, too. My dad grew up on a farm, literally went to a one-room schoolhouse, rode a horse to school, a whole bit, born in 1930 in, a town of, 500 maybe, 1,000 in Iowa. That's not where I grew up. I grew up in Mason City, which was more about 30,000 people. But my dad grew up in a teeny tiny town. And so to kind of help pay for his schooling, he was with the ROTC. Never dreamed he was going to be called up. And during the Korean War, he was called up and had to postpone his last year of law school for 2 years. I was actually born on the base in Austin. He's in the Air Force in intelligence. So all these things, they touch nerves.
Sure did. And I was able to meet a gentleman. His name's Melvin Dutch Frutinich, and he was in Huntsville. He turned 100 years old back on July 7th, 2019, and he was from Scott County, Iowa, and he came to Huntsville to be a mechanical engineer, worked into the space program, U.S. Army Meteorology and Calibration Center, before he retired the year I was born in 1979, but it was very special. But he was a big part of Iowa State University, graduated from there, earned his degree, and came to Huntsville. But I thought I'd put that in. Scott County, Iowa. He talked about the fact that he was German and that they were able to get land when they came over to settle, and they ended up with acreage in Iowa, and that's where his family settled. His nickname was Dutch. He was 100 years old on July 2019.
Wow. That's amazing.
I just think that's interesting because he worked in the Pentagon and ultimately came to Huntsville, Alabama through the U.S. Army Meteorology and Calibration Center. But that's I don't know if you've ever heard of that particular county in Iowa, but Scott County was where he was from. And I don't know what the county seat is or anything like that, but that was interesting to me. Davenport, Iowa.
Oh, yeah. My mom grew up in Davenport, one of the Quad Cities. Yeah.
Do you think about generational connections, things that we forget, they happened, and it may be that our grandparents didn't share it with us, or we have parents who didn't share information with us. And that's what a lot of times I feel like maybe in this day and age, that if you missed it, you missed it. But we have World War II veterans. We have people who are still here now. Granted, they're in their late 90s, early hundreds right now. We have one gentleman, he's a friend of mine. He's 105 years old. His name is Major Wooten, and he served in World War II. He stormed the beaches of Normandy. He'll be 106 if he continues to live in December. And he's such an impressive gentleman. And I love those men and women and the conversations I've been able to have with them about service to our country and their commitment to maintain our freedoms that we have today. And I certainly appreciate my freedom.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you 100%. Absolutely. We owe a great debt to our veterans.
I agree. Do you know they just put a wall up in Washington, D.C., the Korean Memorial Wall? They had the Vietnam Memorial Wall, and they had been missing the Korean Wall, but it has now been established in Washington, D.C. We had veterans go up there in July to help christen the wall, if you will, as the Korean veterans who lost their lives are now being honored with a wall in the same way the Vietnam veterans are.
That's wonderful. I didn't know that. That's fantastic. I was actually in D.C. last fall, unbelievably, for the first time in my life.
Oh, wow.
And of course, I know. Never. I travel a lot. I don't know how I never got there. But anyway, loved it. So proud of our country. But the Korean Memorial you know, the statues
yes.
there is really quite something. It's one of my favorite memorials, the Korean War Memorial. It's, you know, soldiers as if they're approaching the enemy, you know. It's big. It's quite something, really neat. But I'm thrilled to hear they have a wall. I think that's very special for the people that have served there and are able to see their names.
That's
right.
And
for the people who have lost. Yeah.
I totally agree. And if we think about the Waltons going back to the series, Teddy Roosevelt is brought up several times by Grandpa. And then you hear FDR on the radio. And I love when they take the sounds from the time period. You had the Prince of England, and I cannot recall his name. At one point, they put him on the air, and they played him basically saying he was no longer going to reign, and that he was going to marry who he wanted to marry. And that was a particular poignant episode that I recall right now as I'm picturing the family sitting around the radio and listening. And of course, I'm a radio guy, so I love what comes out of the speakers on the Waltons through radio.
Yeah, the radio is pretty cool. Radio's in the Smithsonian, I believe.
Wow, it should be.
You know, yeah, I know, right?
I watched it all on my radio as a song that Lionel Cartwright came out with, one of my favorite songs. At the crack of a bat, you knew how far it went. Or he said, at the crack of a bat, you knew how far it'd go. I watched it all on my radio. And he had a 6 transistor. He said, I had a 6 transistor when I was a kid. Under my pillow, I kept it hid. When the lights went out and no one could see, over the airwaves, the world came to me. Isn't that something?
Oh, that is very, that sounds like magic. Yeah.
Yes. And
very
I had him,
magical.
I had him on the show, and I thought that was really fun to have him on. And I had him say, I watched it all on my radio. I watched it all on the Mark White Show. He did a liner for the show, and I thought that was really cool.
It is. Yeah, that's great.
Well, I'm excited about getting to meet you, Leslie, in person October 1st and 2nd at the Pickers Market. I think this has just warmed things up.
I think it's going to be an absolutely great event. I can't wait. I so look forward to meeting you and your family. And quite frankly, it's right around the corner.
It sure is.
About 5 weeks out, I think.
Very closer than
everybody
we might think. The Northeast Missouri Fall Pickers Market, October 1st and 2nd in Macon, Missouri. You can see me and April and Cora. And then, oh, by the way, you can see 7 cast members from the Waltons if you really want to do that. And then, of course, the Pickers side of things, you have the antiques and all the different fall decor, repurposed finds, original art. If you love picking, this is the place to be, and Jack has done a great job. Jack Bishop, I want you to email him if you have questions about this. He wants some people from my area to go over there and be vendors. And so go to gravelroadmarket@gmail.com and then follow them on Facebook at Northeast Missouri Pickers Market. And Leslie Winston, it's been a real pleasure. I appreciate you joining me on the show to talk about your role as Cindy Walton, to talk about your family. I love the fact that your sister was writing you letters and then watching on Thursday night, and your family appreciated the fact you were on the Waltons. That makes me really happy, because my grandmother, as dissatisfied as she was with some of the jobs that I chose, the Mark White Show was not one of them. It pleased her that I was doing this, and she would listen to my show, and I would walk into the house and she would tell me, now, Mark, if you would spend a little more time on this, or if you would talk about that. And she was giving me pointers, just like Ellen probably would have done to the grandchildren, as I can picture in the Waltons. And she's no longer with me, but I'm so happy that my grandmother loved what I was doing before she passed away.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm thrilled for you, too. That's just great. And I've enjoyed this immensely. And again, thank you so much for having me.
You're most welcome. Leslie Winston, folks, Cindy Walton from the Waltons. Again, we appreciate her joining us here on the Mark White Show today.
Thank you, Mark. What fun.
There are moments in life you wish you could capture forever. Alabama the Beautiful is a new online magazine that preserves images from sweet home Alabama. Yours anytime, online, every month. Where the eye captures the moment, and it really does last forever.
Be sure to check out AlabamaTheBeautifulMagazine.com.
Thompson Roofing and Construction is a locally owned family business serving the North Alabama and Southern Tennessee area. They are a Better Business Bureau A-plus member since 2011 and a GAF Master Elite Contractor. Give them a call at 256-952-3309 or check them out on the web at 256roofing.com. They offer free inspections.
Thompson Roofing and Construction.
Mr. Cecil Batchelor is the one that started this business as Dependable Service Center. And even though now it's Green's Dependable Hardware and we're a True Value store, our tagline is still your Dependable Service Center. We've tried to keep that alive for all these years. Mr. Batchelor really started a good business. We're really excited to be carrying on a long-standing tradition. It's the oldest retail store in the city of Russellville. We're Green's Dependable Hardware, 15220A Highway 43 in Russellville, Alabama. We're right behind McDonald's or right across the street from the hospital. Number is 256-331-0123.
Your Dependable Service Center.
Is it time for a haircut? Give my friend Philip Butler at Southwind Barbershop a call, located in Rogersville, Alabama. You can call him at 256-247-5658. Make an appointment or just walk in. That's Southwind Barbershop in Rogersville, Alabama.
And gentle people who shout a friendly hi when they go passing by, who live and love in my hometown. Ah, these are my kind of people.